Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans, what's going on? This is Jeff Hartman, editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, with you for another episode of The Steelers Burning Question, where I take one topic, one question that a lot of people were talking about, or maybe it's just something that I'm personally interested in, and I answer that question. But before we get to the question, before we talk about anything Steelers related, I do want to send out a big shout out to not only Lance Williams, my co-host on The Standard Is a Standard. He does phenomenal work both on my show as well as his own show. Yeah, I Said It, which aired today, earlier this morning. Also, all the other podcasters out there, whether it's Brian Anthony Davis, Dave Schofield, Tony DeFeo, great job. Please make sure you follow us on all of our platforms on YouTube. You can find us on YouTube by searching BTSC Steelers Radio. Subscribe, like, comment. We appreciate all the love there. Also, on our audio platforms, because only three of our shows are live on YouTube, they have five total shows on our audio platforms. You can go to anywhere where you get your podcasts and just search Steelers, and we'll be one of the very first things. Very first podcast to show up. Look for the BehindTheSteelCurtain.com logo. So here we go. We're getting ready for the new show, Steelers Burning Question. And for once, I'm thankful that until I get to your questions, which, by the way, second half of the show, I often, you know, say, hey, if you have a question, shoot it out in the live, if you're in the live chat right now, and we'll answer it. But right now, I'm happy to say that I'm not going to be talking about Le'Veon Bell. I'm not going to be talking about, Antonio Brown, the Raiders, Vaughn, nothing, none of that. And before we get started, there is a question I have to answer, and that is Ron asks, Jeff, is that a West Virginia shirt? Yes, it is a WVU shirt. I am from West Virginia, so there you go. I represent the state as much as I can here in the state of Maryland. So, okay, the question today is, in my opinion, a difficult one to answer. The burning question is this: of the three new players recently acquired by the Pittsburgh Steelers, we're talking cornerback Steven Nelson, who was picked up as a free agent from the Kansas City Chiefs. We're talking about wide receiver Dante Moncrief, who was a free agent picked up from the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we're talking Mark Barron, who was picked up not as a free agent. He was released by the Rams. So he was just on the waiver wire on the open market. And he is a hybrid linebacker safety type from the Los Angeles Rams. I'm not sure if I just said St. Louis Rams or not. Some some habits are hard to quit. It's not as bad as the San Diego Chargers. I know they're the Los Angeles Chargers, but the San Diego Chargers, that they'll always be the San Diego Chargers. But the question today is, if those three players, that trio, which will have the biggest impact in the 2019 season for the Pittsburgh Steelers? So when I think about this, and I thought about it a lot today because I knew this was going to be the topic of the show tonight, and I had prepped the show, and I even went on the BehindTheSteelCurtain.com Twitter feed. If you don't follow us, please do, at BT Steel Curtain. I just threw it out there, just did a poll, and we had probably about 600 or so votes. I'm not sure of the exact total of what exactly is going down with, you know, where the numbers are right now. But the last I checked, which was about 30 minutes before we went live on the air, it was really close between two players. The fans that are out there on Twitter that voted on the poll was the biggest impact. And so I thought about it, and I guess the one continuous thing that kept coming to my mind was that it depends on how you view an impact. How do you view having an impact? Well, for me, the number one thing that you have to remember with this scenario is who's going to have the best chance to have an impact. Okay, so that comes down to the role that the Steelers are going to have them in. It's going to come down to maybe what positions they expect to draft in the NFL draft coming up in April. And so all of this plays a role into answering this question. So while some people might say it's real cut and dry, they might say, boom, here's your answer and that's it. I tend to dig a little bit deeper. If you follow the show, you know that's my nature, is that I'm not just going to give you a clear cookie cutter answer. So first and foremost, I look at what these players were brought in to be. Okay, first and foremost, you had Steven Nelson. He was the first player acquired in free agency. I expect that when they go to La Trobe at St. Vincent College for training camp, he is going to be CB2, cornerback 2, opposite Joe Hayden. I think he's going to be slated in as a starter. Now, there is a chance that they will draft a cornerback, and maybe that cornerback will play well, but I don't think, even if they're super impressive early, that he won't start the season at least at the position. The Steelers don't like to start rookies if they don't have to. I know a lot of people will point to Terrell Edmonds last year. They did not want to start Terrell Edmonds. Morgan Burnett was hurt. That's why he was forced to start. Morgan Burnett continued to get banged up and have all these nicks, and you know, it was an ongoing injury thing with Morgan Burnett, and that's why Terrell Edmonds played. But I believe that Steven Nelson will have the opportunity to start, and that's really important in this question, in this scenario, okay? Then we look at the second addition, and that is wide receiver Dante Moncrief. Moncrief had the tangibles that you like. He's big. He's 6'2". He's fast. He ran a 4.4 coming out of Ole Miss. And when he's had a capable quarterback, which is really only the first 2 years of his career when he had Andrew Luck before he got hurt, he's put up decent numbers. Mind-boggling numbers? No. Antonio Brown numbers? No. If you expect Dante Moncrief to come in and just replace Antonio Brown in his production, think again. It's just not going to happen. So ultimately, you look at it and say, what is his role going to be in the offense? Well, we know Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be number one. Well, who's going to be the number two? Could it be Moncrief? Possibly. Could it be James Washington? He has an edge on him as he has a whole year in the system under his belt. Now, he did struggle at times during his rookie season, but where are they going to fall? The slot. You think that's Eli Rogers and Ryan Switzer. So Moncrief, and let's not forget that I think everyone that's paid attention will almost guarantee they're probably going to draft at least one wide receiver in this upcoming NFL draft. And if that's the case, Moncrief is not guaranteed a spot on this offense as a regular, as a starter. I don't think there's any way you could say that he is. And for that, it's kind of a red flag. When you're talking about the biggest impact, it doesn't mean he won't have an impact. But the question is, who's going to have the biggest impact this season? So Moncrief, not so certain in terms of what his role is going to be in the offense. Is it going to be as wide receiver 4? If so, the Steelers run 4 wide receiver sets often, but he's still not going to see the field as much as others. So that's going to be something to keep in the back of your mind. So then we go to Mark Barron. Now, I think that everyone, just like I said, that everyone should agree that they're going to draft a wide receiver. I think that most people would agree that they're going to be targeting an inside linebacker early in the draft, period. They're going to try to meet. I would not be shocked if they try to move up and draft someone like Devin Bush or if they want to really rock the boat, they trade a haul for Devin White of LSU. But I think that we can all agree that inside linebacker is going to be a priority for them as they go into the selection process. So what does that mean for Mark Barron? Well, it means that Mark Barron, who's a safety converted to inside linebacker, so he's a really light inside linebacker, he's going to be, if they do go out and get a first-round safety, or I'm sorry, or an inside first-round linebacker, you have to think that Barron's going to be used as a sub-package player. Think of L.J. Fort before last season when he was used as a starter, before, you know, the year prior where he would go in certain packages. And so again, similar to Moncrief, not only is Barron going to have to really work for his reps in practice and in games, but he's going to have to prove his worth in certain specific packages and scenarios. So with that said, you look at these three players, you say, who can have the biggest impact? Well, I do think that Barron can have an impact in his own way, and I think Moncrief could be really good for this team. I really do. I think that a lot of people are underselling him based on his last two seasons, one in Indy, one in Jacksonville. But you have to remember who were their quarterbacks at that time. Jacoby Brissett, Curtis Painter, I think, might have been throwing him passes at one point, and Blake Bortles in Jacksonville. You can't expect, if Ben Roethlisberger stays healthy, there's no way you can expect that unless he has completely fallen off the face of the earth in terms of skill, there's no way that he would have such mediocre numbers if he's on the field a significant amount of time. So Moncrief could have a big impact on this team. I think he's a big target, good red zone target. He can stretch the field vertically. That is something, stretching the field vertically is something we've talked about a lot on this show and in the team needs podcast and thing like that. So he fits that role. But I can't stop thinking about what I said at the very start of all of this, and that is that Steven Nelson is going to be slated as the starter come training camp. The starter. He doesn't have to beat out Artie Burns. Cody Sensabaugh is currently not on the roster. He's a free agent still. It is his job. Now, coaches, like for instance, next week Mike Tomlin will speak at the owners' meetings in Phoenix, I believe, is where they are this year, and he'll probably say that everyone's got to earn their spot. I don't buy that for a second. This guy is going to be the starter. Joe Hayden's going to be the other starter. He is going to have the best chance to have the biggest impact on this team. But notice I said he'll have the best chance because he still has to go out and actually perform. And what I mean by that is that can he duplicate those four interceptions again that he had last year for the Kansas City Chiefs? Or is this going to be a Mike Mitchell situation? Where remember, when the Steelers picked up Mike Mitchell as a free agent, he had just left Carolina. He had five interceptions in a season. And fans were just enamored with him. They were enamored with that number. And they said, man, I can't wait to have this safety in here. He's going to come. He's a hard hitter. But boy, it took about ball skills. I think Mike Mitchell might have had only like two or three interceptions in his entire Steelers tenure. I could be wrong. And if you're in the live chat and you know what that number is, please let me know. I don't have it in front of me, but it was not a lot. I don't think, I'll say this, I'm pretty sure that he didn't get over five total in his time in Pittsburgh, and he had five in that season in Carolina prior to coming to the Steelers. So you just don't know, but I will say that if he can go out and perform well, I mean, for crying out loud, I think Joe Hayden had two interceptions last year, and that led the defensive back group with two. I mean, that's pathetic. So if he can go out and perform well, I definitely think that the answer to my question is Steven Nelson. But I don't want to undersell the fact that the other two guys can't have an impact as well. So while I do answer this with Steven Nelson, and he was the player that people on Twitter voted as having the biggest impact of the three. Dante Moncrief was a very close second, and Mark Barron was a pretty distant third. And I would probably have them in that order as well. Moncrief, I think, is just experienced. I think he'll pick up the offense quickly. I think he's going to be a good addition. But you look at Barron and you think, well, the way that they're probably going to draft, I don't know where he fits. And so a lot of people are concerned. I was kind of concerned when I looked at the finances with Mark Barron's contract. Now, the details haven't come out yet, but he got $12 million for 2 years. That's a lot of money to pay for a guy that technically could be a backup player. So who is he replacing? I think he's going to be a replacement kind of for LJ Fort and Morgan Burnett. I think Morgan Burnett's gone. I don't think they, I think he's a post June 1st cut. They'll save some cap space. He'll get to find a new team. And Barron will fill that linebacker slash safety role. And so if they do draft a linebacker, let's say it is a Devin Bush, three down player, he doesn't have to come off the field. They can bring in Barron as another defensive back slash linebacker. He can play the line of scrimmage. He can cover. He's still athletic enough because he was a safety. So, again, the reason why I'm going into detail on all these players is that while I answer the question with Steven Nelson, the other two players could have a significant role in this team too, because they're each going to have their own niche that they're going to be able to fulfill and to really kind of carve out their own spot on the team where they can make a big impact. My ultimate question now is this going to be a different trend for the Steelers when it comes to free agent pickups? Now, I know a lot of people point to Joe Hayden. I don't really count Joe Hayden. Joe Hayden was released, and it was before the season, and the Steelers pounced on him, which was, hey, kudos to them. Great move. He's really panned out, I thought. I think he's been a very good, solid cornerback for them and really solidified the back end of the defense as best as he could. But you look at guys like Ladarius Green and guys that just didn't pan out. There were injury. Morgan Burnett would be a good example. Mike Mitchell. And Mike Mitchell stayed with Pittsburgh for a long time, but that doesn't mean that he lived up. My question now is as I answer the question that I posed at the beginning of the show is who is going to be, out of the three new players, who's going to have the biggest impact in 2019? And I said Steven Nelson. The other question I have is, will all of these or any of these players not be huge disappointments? You know, the constantly injured Morgan Burnett, the Ladarius Green never gets on the field, the Mike Mitchell, who never duplicates the success that he had in Carolina when they spent as much money as they did on him. Those are the questions that will linger until they finally hit the field. And that won't happen until, I believe, OTAs are in early May, and then you have mini camp, and then you have that dead period, and then it's typically, I want to say in July is when they report to training camp, and then you get right back into it. So it's not going to be far off. It's the first day of spring, so we have some time to talk about it, but now's where I want to hear from you. If you are in the live chat right now, you're watching live on YouTube, this is where you can not only answer the question that I posed at the beginning of the show is who's going to be have the best, biggest impact on the team in 2019. But you can also ask your own questions. And I do want to take the time that if you don't know, we have a super chat feature. I've had some emails from people not only suggesting that we get this feature, but also saying that, hey, you missed my question. And they wanted me to answer their question. Most of the time I have time to email them back. Sometimes I don't. And I apologize. The super chat feature is if you want your question, so now is the time where you can put out questions. I'll answer any question, NFL related, football related, stuff like that. It doesn't matter. You can ask any Steeler question. If you hit the super chat feature on the right, you can pay any amount of money, and I think it's even like 50 cents even. We'll keep your question highlighted at the top so that I see it longer and how you have a better chance to get it answered, which is possibly what some people want. Now, with that said, you don't have to use this. It's just another feature that we put on the show. I think only one person has used it so far. So if you have questions, now's the time to fire away as we move into the Q&A session, and as well, continue to let me know what you think about the big three question that I had at the beginning of the show.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Ron says that all three will be starters. Ron, I hope that you're wrong, to believe it or not. I think that I hope Barron is not a starter, because not only do I not think that he fits the role of inside linebacker in the Steelers system, I hope they draft someone that's a starter and he can come in and be that sub package guy. And that's not a bad thing. They run sub packages over 75% of the time. So I'm not downplaying what Barron can do. I just hope he's not considered a starter. The other two, if they're starters, I'm fine with that. Absolutely. Let's see here. Do you think we would draft Hakeem? I think you said about Hakeem Butler in round two. I would be absolutely fine with them drafting a wide receiver in round two. They've had great success there. I still have hope for James Washington, who was drafted in the second round. Juju was drafted in the second round. I think he would be a really good addition, and he would have a chance to learn. With the addition of Moncrief, with bringing Rodgers back, he would, and James Washington, hopefully coming into his own in year two, he wouldn't be thrust into the role that Washington had last year. I felt Washington was pushed out there a little too much too early, wasn't really ready for it. So I hope that they do target. I would be absolutely fine with that. So, Captain Underpants, my kids love your books, by the way. I appreciate your work. what's the chances we trade up into the top 10 for Devin White? Man, you think about jumping from 20 to 10, you're going to have to give a lot up. And so from 20 to 10, not only are you going to swap first, probably, so you're going to give up your 20th pick to move up. You're going to have to give up one of the thirds that you have for Antonio Brown. And you might have to throw in maybe a 2020 pick. So you might say, like, to jump all the way up to the 10, you might say, well, we'll give you our first, we'll give you a third, and maybe we'll throw in a 2020 fourth or fifth. Maybe that'll be sweet enough to jump up. It depends on who you're trying to jump in front of. Don't forget last year, the Steelers were trying to jump up in the draft to take, I want to say, what's his name? The linebacker from Alabama. Now, he ended up going to the Titans. Who did they have to jump up in front of? They would have to trade with the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens were not about to do business with the Steelers, and so therefore they didn't get the deal done. So you have to look at who would they have to trade up for. Would I be okay with it? Yes. They have 10 draft picks. Trade picks away. I don't care. Be aggressive. That's what they need to do. The Steelers need to be aggressive this draft. That's exactly what I think they need to be. The chances that they do that, I think there's a better chance that they move up from 20 to 15 to get Devin Bush if they feel like someone's going to take him. But ultimately, I think there's a higher likelihood of that happening. Daniel asks, who do you think is going to have more impact for the third year boys, Connor, Water, Juju? Wow, this is a really good question. And this might be one I have to do a whole show on. The third year boys. That's a cool name, third year boys. I might have to make a shirt for that, a behind the steel curtain shirt. James Connor's going to have a heck of an opportunity. They're all going to have a heck of an opportunity. And you know what? You come to think of it, this draft class might go down as one of the best in the Kevin Colbert era if they continue on their current, trajectory, and that is Juju Smith-Schuster is playing well. He's going to have a chance to be the number one receiver. James Conner has coming off a great year. Definitely showed some promise. Can he duplicate that? TJ Watt continues to just get better and better and better. I don't know how you can answer this question. I really don't. I mean, every time I look at a name, I'm looking at Conner, I'm looking at Watt, Juju. I keep on thinking of a reason why they're going to have more impact than the others. I'll say TJ Watt, because I think that he is going to be a dominant player. I think he's going to follow the same trajectory of his brother in Houston. I think he's a superstar in the making, period. It's not to take away from Connor. It's not to take away from Juju. I think Juju might struggle a little bit. I don't think his numbers are going to be as great this year as they were last year. Some stats might be better, like touchdowns, but at the same time, yardage might be down. So we'll see. I'll go with TJ Watt. That's a really good question. That's going to make me think. I'm going to be thinking about that. Maybe that'll be next week's show. We'll see. Vodka Drinker just adding into the conversation that we've already talked about earlier in the show about if we can get two out of three, like if two out of the three players that we mentioned earlier, the new free agent pickups, if we hit on two out of three, that's a good deal. I agree there, Vodka Drinker, especially with the Steelers' free agency history. Joseph asks, what are they going to do with Morgan Burnett? My guess is they're just going to cut him. I don't think if there was a team that coveted him enough, they would have probably traded for him already. Now the Steelers still can shop him. They could say, hey, you know, if we don't need to move on him now, they can wait. If all of a sudden someone's starting safety gets hurt, they could say, hey, we'll trade you Morgan Burnett, you know, for a Permane brothers sandwich. So, you know, you have that and you're like, okay, so I don't think they're going to do anything with him. I don't think he's going to get traded. I think he's going to get cut. June 1st, post June 1st designation, they'll save the most money that way. Let's see here. Going through here. Do you think Mark Barron will ask for a release if not a starter? I don't think so. If the Steelers are smart, and I say that loosely with all the reports that have come out recently, I think that I hope they learn from the Morgan Burnett experiment, and that is Morgan Burnett was not happy with how the role that he was in. He was expecting to be a safety. They had him as that hybrid linebacker role. If they're smart, they told Mark Barron, hey, we want to bring you in. We want you to be a sub-package guy. We're trying to draft an inside linebacker, so we're not asking, you know, we might have to ask you if there's an injury, but we don't want you as that guy. If they were smart, they would really, really be upfront with him so that they don't have the same issues that they had last year. I don't think he'll ask for a release, though. Ron Day asked, what about Justin Houston in Pittsburgh? This was something that got brought up a couple weeks ago on one of our shows, and to me, the fact that he's not signed yet. Now, I haven't been on Twitter and checked my timeline and checked all the news. To me, the fact that he's not signed yet means one thing, and that is teams, he's either asking for too much money or teams are really wary of his health, because the last 2 years he's battled injuries. Last year, he only played, I think, in 12 games, had 9 sacks. That's pretty remarkable. You know, Bud Dupree played in a lot more than 9 and or 12 games and didn't have close to 9. So could they bring him in? The price would have to be right, and his health would have to be right as well. And that's the biggest thing, is the price is the price. Because I think when the Steelers finally renegotiate a deal with Ben, they'll have some cap space. But at the same time, the one thing you don't want is to bring in damaged goods. That's the same with Eric Berry. People ask about Eric Berry. This guy's coming off an Achilles. He had issues with that last year. Thanks, but no thanks. I know he's a big name, and that's what people want, but if I'm going to pick one of the two of the former Chiefs, I'd take Houston by far, because even when he was injured and he came back, he still did get 9 sacks. So he still has it. He's only 30. All right, so let's see here. If you were Kansas City and Devin Bush and Greedy Williams and Metcalf are all available, who do you take? This is from Captain Underpants again. I personally, DK Metcalf is like a physical freak, you know, but I don't even think he was the best wide receiver on Ole Miss. I'd give it to A.J. Brown. So I wouldn't take him. I would probably lean towards Devin Bush over Greedy Williams. I'm just not crazy about the cornerback class in this group. Greedy Williams is okay. He's probably considered one of the better cornerbacks in the draft. But I think Devin Bush is a dynamic player. He has the tangibles. He's that sideline-to-sideline athlete that you want. And I think ultimately, Devin Bush is a guy that is kind of rare anymore. He's a guy that can play the run, can play the pass. He's a 3-down player. He doesn't have to come off the field much. You don't find those guys. As the game gets more specialized, players like him are slowly, now the athletic side, they're there, but to be able to stay on in all situations, that's not as common. Greg says, I see a lot of people wanting to move up in the first round of the draft. I think if we move up, it should be in round 3 to move back into the second. What do I think? Now, Greg, I've always been a guy that says, I wish the Steelers would move back more, because don't dismiss the value of second round draft picks. And that's kind of what you referred to, is moving up into the third, because they have that early third round pick from the Raiders for Antonio Brown. They could move up into the second round. There is still a lot of good talent out there. So in my opinion, if you don't see someone that you really, really like, then trade your pick away. Hate to say this, but don't take an Artie Burns just because you have to take someone. Don't take a Terrell Edmonds if you think he's going to be there in the second round, which a lot of people said they probably would have been. Trade that pick. See if you have a suitor and see if someone wants to jump back into the first round. And if that, you might get another second round pick. You might get another pick later. You can manage this draft in multiple ways. And so I'd be fine with them trading up in any round. they traded up in the third round last year to get Mason Rudolph, was fine with that. So keep this in mind that when it comes to trades, everyone always thinks they got to trade up, 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 up. They can always also trade back, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. So keep that in mind. Thomas, appreciate the work here. He says that if Burnett's cut after June 1st, speaking about Morgan Burnett, he would, the Steelers would save $4 million on their cap. That's one of the reasons why they would do it. Do you think the Steelers, this is from the Gaming Duck, do you think the Steelers will draft a tight end to go with Vance? I don't know a lot of tight end prospects. I know that Iowa has a couple that a lot of people are talking about. Haven't seen them or talked about them too much. I definitely could see them drafting one, not in the first round. I don't think that's a first, second, or third round pick, personally. But at the same time, I think it's a team need. You have Xavier Grimble. They tendered him. Vance McDonald's still under contract. They brought in a player, O'Shaughnessy, I think is his name, from Jacksonville last year. He played there. He's more of like a blocking tight end. I think they could still address tight end. I just don't think it needs to be a day one or day two pick for the Steelers in the upcoming draft. It's here. Claude says, the Steelers need a new OC and offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. I might agree with you on the defensive coordinator. I'm not going to say sure about the offensive coordinator. They had a pretty good offense last year. Let's hear. If Devin Bush is gone, do we, the Steelers, go for a cornerback at 20, or is it worth trading back? Just kind of, I kind of talked, that was from Taylor. I kind of talked about that. I think if you have a cornerback, Byron Murphy's a name that's there, Greedy Williams. There's the, I think it's Devontae Adams, I believe is his name, from Georgia. Correct me if I'm wrong. Apologize. There's a lot of players out there. I would say you can take a cornerback as long as you think that that guy is a true first-round talent. And even though you picked up Nelson, like if you were to get a guy like a Greedy Williams and you say, look, this kid's going to take a little bit of time, he could play. He could be that number four cornerback. He could bump a guy like Cameron Sutton, Brian Allen. He could bump them off the roster, and you're not going to miss anything. And so he could play and learn. And then if Joe Hayden leaves, he takes over, and you have him and Nelson. That's something that Lance Williams said on our show on Sunday. He said that's an ideal situation. He, Lance, said that that would be best for a second round, not a first round. It all just depends on how the chips are falling. And that's the thing about this draft talk. We can talk till we're blue in the face about what if this, what if that, what if this, what if that. The scenarios are endless. I mean, what if Devin White goes in the top five and Devin Bush goes in the top 15? Next, you know, here you are 20, and who's available? We don't know. So it all depends. Taz asked, do you think we need to look quarterback in this draft? I'm going to say no, because not only did the Steelers have the youngest, probably outside of Ben Roethlisberger, in terms of the depth, they had probably the youngest depth chart in the NFL, with Joshua Dobbs going into his third year, Mason Rudolph going to his second. I don't think you need to get quarterback. I personally, if you've listened to these shows, any of the shows that I've done, you know, I really like Mason Rudolph. And I'm not saying that he's the next Ben Roethlisberger. I'm not saying that he's the future, but I'm saying he could be. And he just hasn't had a chance. So I'm not picking a quarterback this year. That's a position that we're not going to address, but that's just me. Captain Underpants, I'm sorry. I did not understand your question really. I thought you had said KC. I thought you meant Kansas City. You meant Kevin Colbert. I apologize. That's my bad. But partly your bad too. Steven Nelson came from the Chiefs. I got Kansas City on my mind. Okay. Steven asked, do I think the Steelers should trade up this year? You know, I think that personally, I want them to be aggressive. I want them to be aggressive, but if you're going to be aggressive, I've said this multiple times on multiple shows, I want the Steelers to get a player that is NFL ready on day one. I'm sick and tired of them drafting projects. Stop with the projects already. I want you to draft a player that you can bring in, and then you say, look, here's the role, learn the defense. They learn it, they pick it up quickly, and they're ready. I understand that when you pick 20th, a lot of times those players aren't readily available. That's why I said if you're going to be aggressive and you're going to trade up, it better be for a player that is ready. That's all I'm saying. I'm fine with the aggressive nature. I'm fine with trading picks. I'm fine with trading up or back, but please make sure the pick is right. That's the only thing. You know, a lot of people were asking about should they trade up. And Keegan Hill, the Steelers suck. Well, they didn't make the playoffs last year, but then again, a lot of teams suck. In my opinion, if you didn't win the Super Bowl, your team sucks. So unless you're a Patriots fan, which probably are, keep that in mind. Let's see here. DeAndre Baker is the cornerback from Georgia. I was close. Give me a break. All right. Let's see here. Wow. Ron says special player, 20th pick. He thinks Josh Jacobs, running back from Alabama, said they get Connor some help with Jalen Samuels. I'm not against drafting a running back personally. I think that if there's one knock on Connor, it's his longevity, I guess, so to speak, is he has 2 years under his belt in the NFL, has yet to play in a 16-game season. When he's healthy, I love watching him play. But at the same time, if you're, hey, you can't be in the tub the whole time, all right? You can't make the club from the tub is what they used to say. And so for him, he's got to stay healthy. So taking some of those carries off of him might be a good thing. So I don't know about this one player that you're referring to, because, again, I haven't watched a lot of college football yet. But at the same time, if he is capable, any running back, I don't know if you need to get a running back in the first round. There's so many of those guys that are good and do things well that are in second, third round, even fourth round talent. So keep that in mind. Andre asks, at pick 20, what is the absolute worst case scenario? The worst case scenario is the Steelers run into the same situation they had in 2016 with Artie Burns. And that is, okay, you have your eye on one guy. And that guy was William Jackson III. And the pick right before yours is the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Cincinnati Bengals take William Jackson III. And you don't know what you're doing next. You didn't expect it. You didn't seem like you were prepared for it. The worst case scenario is that you have a knee-jerk reaction, and then all of a sudden, you're taking a guy like Artie Burns, who's a project, who is raw, and doesn't pan out. And you almost basically waste a first-round draft pick. That's the worst case scenario. The best case scenario is you have options. Devin Bush is still available. Maybe a cornerback that you like is still available. Maybe an edge rusher is still available. And you have literally take your pick. Okay, what do we want to do here? Do we want this guy? Do we think he's going to be there in the second round? That's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario would be a redo of 2016. I'll never forget. I was coaching at that time. And I used to coach a spring sport. And I'm driving home. I have Chris Carter, who's now at DK Pittsburgh Sports. He's on the draft. He's getting ready to type up the article. And I'm listening to the coverage on ESPN Radio. And I'm getting ready to pull down my street. And I hear in the Pittsburgh Steelers select Artie Burns, cornerback, Miami. And I'm thinking, what? And every single person that I saw at that time when I got home, I checked Twitter. And it was just a myriad of who, what, why, when, how, over and over again. It was bad. That's the worst case scenario, in my opinion. And some might say trading back is the worst case scenario. I totally disagree. That would not be the worst case scenario. So someone asked, would you draft the outside linebacker, Chase Winovich? He's from Michigan. Hey, he's a motor guy. That's you listen to Mel Kiper, you listen to all those draft Knicks. They say he's got a high motor. He's got a high motor. He's a hard worker. He's someone that I wouldn't take in the first round, but if he's around and in rounds two or three, I'd think about it. Absolutely. They need help on the edge. Don't mistake it. You definitely need help on the edge. Let's see here. Right, we have a few more questions before we call it a show. A lot of people saying, yeah, definitely don't take a first round running back. And I agree with that. Thomas White's providing a very detailed option. Trade back to 24. So they would trade back four spots. They swap their second round pick with the Raiders. They trade back to 33. Pick up the top pick in the third round, then maneuver up as you like. That's not a bad idea. That's a lot of wheeling and dealing, though. As an editor of a website, that would be a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. But that would be one, two, three, four, at least four articles that I would have to write on draft day trades. I'm all for a trade, but not when it has me be working endlessly. Keith asked, what about the running back from Memphis? I wish I knew about the running back from Memphis. I just don't. I really don't. It's one of those situations where I think the Steelers have several positions of need entering the draft. I think running back would be on that list, but not very high. I think the top would be inside linebacker. I think the second now would be wide receiver. I think third would be cornerback. I think fourth would be a combination of edge slash, you know, running back, if you want to add a running back at that case. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see where the chips fall, how things look when they pick a 20, if they move up prior to that. It'll be crazy. The draft weekend is nuts for BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. And I do hope that if you stumbled upon this podcast in any way, shape, or form, let's say you're on YouTube and you just typed in Steelers podcast, and we were one of the first ones that came up, and I hope that you realize that this podcast, these podcasts on YouTube and on our audio platform, are all a part of a website called BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. And that is a part of the SB Nation family of websites. And it is probably the biggest secondhand news site, Steelers site on the internet. So in other words, other than your papers that are able to get inside access, we're not granted inside access yet. And so because of that, we have to rely on others for our news. We're the biggest website out there. And I hope that you enjoy the content. Even in the off season, we're getting, we're giving you 8 to 9 articles a day. I mean, that's incredible. So if you love the Steelers and that's all you really care about, BehindTheSteelCurtain.com is your one-stop shop. I absolutely believe that. For all you people that, you know, really are always here, like I see the names all the time, like Ron, Thomas, like the guys that are here, Vodka Drinkers, another one, they're here every episode. I really appreciate the support. Like I really do. Being here, being a part of the community on live on YouTube is awesome. It's a nice little click that we have going on here, but spread the love. So if you don't follow us on YouTube, go to YouTube, search BTSC Steelers Radio, subscribe, tell a friend. We appreciate it. Also on all of our audio platforms, subscribe so that you don't miss a show. Like I said, we have 5 podcasts a week, every single day. So if you have some drive time, I know that for me, I love sports talk radio, but sometimes I hate the nonstop college basketball NBA talk. So I want to hear about the Steelers. So this is what it gives you. So keep that in mind. But appreciate all you for listening. Appreciate some of you for watching. Make sure you join us tomorrow night for an episode of the Steelers Preview with myself, Brian, and Dave. And we'll see you next week on another episode of the Steelers Burning Question.